Amen. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5. Great things He hath done. Amen. While we're finding our place, if God spoke to you about testifying, if He nudged you to testify about the great things He has done, I'll give you opportunity to do that. Anybody? Anybody? Ephesians chapter 5. All right, Ephesians chapter number 5, and you know our text verse very well by now. Verse number 33, Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 33. Again, I'm not going to be long tonight. I was a little longer last Sunday night. I actually combined two messages in one to give you the thought. I didn't feel like I needed to stop and break them down last week. And this week I'm going to give you just a thought, and I think it's a whole enough thought that we can take it and chew on it and use it for the glory of God. I say this as we begin again, that this issue of the authority line that God has, really our world hates it. It's just so our world's so antagonistic against that. And it's not a hierarchy in one putting another down. It's really working together in the order that God wants it to be. Amen. Here's just an illustration. Most of our vehicles now are front-wheel drive vehicles. There's a few rear-wheel driven vehicles, but most of them now are front-wheel driven. You know what the back wheel, they're not lesser. They're not of lesser value. But their job is not to pull, their job is to follow.
Right.
Now, if they don't follow, you're going to have a wreck. Yeah. And that's the way to, if they get, you ever, the problem with front wheel drive vehicles is when you get on snow or ice, sometimes them back wheels want to get up front. And homes get messed up when we get out of our order. Amen. It's not a shame being the back wheel. Matter of fact, I'll say this, and I think it's true, we need to realize it. Your position on your job, there is nothing wrong with being under somebody else. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you having to be subordinate to a superior. It doesn't mean you're of lesser. And by the way, you shouldn't say, well, I ought to have the equal pay and I ought to have the, you know, equal opportunities and all that. No. There's nothing wrong with being on the lower tier and doing your job. Amen. And God can advance you when you learn to do that job. Some of those people on top, I realize the way things are today, sometimes people get on top just because they knew the right person or they went to the right school and they really don't know much. It's sad that people can be book smart and common sense stupid.
Amen.
And maybe get a position, but they won't hold it long.
Right.
And it won't work, it won't pan out well when that happens. But when you work up through the ranks, you learn the job, you learn the, you know, the task, and you do it well, there's a way that you can be exalted. And if not, God will see it and He'll take care of it. God's looking down on all that. And I'm glad He does. Amen. And so I'm saying that about this thing about the wife being in submission to her husband and the following of the husband. That's not a bad thing. It's actually a wonderful thing. And when we keep it in the right order, we can keep out of the ditch and we can keep from having a wreck. Amen. And we can go places. We can get things done. Amen. And that's just the illustration. It wasn't in my notes, but it's right there in the text. All right, look in the Bible in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Nevertheless, I like that word. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what you've always been taught.
Right.
He said this is the way it is. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, and he's talking to the husbands, love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you.
Yes.
The truth in the song, pray and ask that you give Brother Shepherd as he brings this thought, Lord.
Yes.
Dear God, to take it, receive it, Lord, to use it to build our homes, that we might build a better church, that we might build a better community. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. I appreciate being able to come in on Sunday evening and people happy, people joyous. Amen. And the opportunity to come in and worship our living God. Amen. He is worthy. Amen. You say, well, you think we ought to praise Him twice on the same day? You just wait till we get to glory.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're looking now at what I call the special duty of the wife in these duties of husbands and wives. This is our 10th sermon in this. When I originally preached this 19 years ago, I preached 16 sermons, and this would be the 12th in that because I've combined two of those as we've looked at it so far. I combined two of the husbands and now two of the wives together and in looking at that. But this is the special duty of the wife. We began in this series of the duties of husbands and wives looking at the duties of both alike. I think I preached four sermons on the duties of both as we work together. And then I preached on the duties of the husband himself, the particular duties or the special duty of the husband. His main duty, he said, underlying foundational duty, is to love his wife. That is the most important thing he can do. By the way, men, that's what the devil will attack. He'll try to make your love grow cold. Amen. The number one job of the wife, he says, is to reverence her husband. We don't use the word reverence a lot. We understand the word revere. Not talking about the fellow that rode the horse and said the British is coming. Paul. We're talking about the revering or the respect that is involved in that. We understand that word. And so that is the job. And again, I say, ladies, that's the biggest thing the devil will try to attack in you is you respecting your husband. Sometimes husbands don't always act so respectable. They don't always act like the general leading the army. Sometimes they act like a little boy. Yeah. That's the truth. But you know what your job to do is to respect him and encourage him. Get back out there in the front lines, amen. Get back to leading, amen. Encourage him in those things. But that's foundational of all of our duties. There's a lot of other things that we could bring in, and we'll look at some of those later. But for him and for her, of all the things we have to do, for him to love her, for her to reverence him, are the two main duties that they have. And the number one for each of them. In their case, well, last week we looked at the dimensions of the wife's reverence for her husband. A 3D world, three dimensions of her love. I'm not going to rehash those, but we talked about those last week. Now, tonight I want to deal with the description of her love for him. We did this same thing with him. We looked at his dimensions and his descriptions, and now we're going to look at the description of the wife's love the wife's reverence for her husband, all right? And I'm going to use the same outline that I did for him. And I believe the Lord gives us this in the text, Ephesians chapter number 5. He gives us a perfect example and He gives us a personal example. He gives us the very perfect, the very best example first. The husband is to love her as Christ. That's perfect. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the perfect example. And then he's to love her in a very personal example, like he loves his own body, like he loves his own self. Well, I believe I see that in this context, in this text as well, that she's to do the same. There's a perfect example, and then there's a personal example. First of all, the perfect example. Look with me at verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read a couple of verses. Verse 22. We'll read three verses. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You see that? That's perfect. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, that's perfect again, is the head of the church, And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as, we could say, just like the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Amen. Again, perfect example. As the church submits to Christ, that's the way the wife is to submit to her husband. He gives that example there, a perfect example. Her submission is to be like the ideal submission of the church. Let me ask a question. Who runs the church? Some people say the pastor runs the church, but they'd be wrong. Some people say, well, this family runs the church. They'd be wrong. Some people say tradition runs the church. They'd be wrong. Who runs the church? Jesus runs the church. He's the one to have the authority and the preeminence of all of it. Amen. And I don't want to get too hard, but who runs the house? Well, the wife ought to be glad to say, the husband does. As Christ, I submit to my husband. As the church submits to Christ, and we recognize sometimes there, by the way, sometimes churches get out of whack. And maybe the pastor does run it, and it's my way or the highway kind of thing. Maybe it is that there is a family that runs it. Sometimes it gets out of order. But when that happens, you're headed towards trouble. Always. Always headed towards trouble. And God honors it when things are in their order as they ought to be. So He says this, that's the way she is to submit to her husband, just like the church ideally submits to Christ. Amen. Now, that might not always be obtained or attained, however you want to say that, but that's what ought to always be sought. That ought to be the goal. That ought to be the desire, because that's the way that is what is expected by our God. That's what is expected by our Creator. That's what is expected by our Judge. Amen. So how then does the church reverence Christ? There's two ways the church reverences Christ, and the wife is said to do it just like that. First of all, the church shows its reverence to Christ, number one, in everything. In everything. Look at verse number 22. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, as a church, we could vote, and I'll give you an illustration. We could vote to change our mode of baptism. We could vote to do that. We could vote to say, here's what we're going to do. It's too hard to fill up that, you know, water costs money nowadays. It's too hard to fill up that thing. So let's just use a cup and let's go to sprinkling. Churches do that. Matter of fact, probably more churches do that than churches that immerse. Now hear this argument. Well, I'm not going to follow my husband because my mama didn't follow my daddy. Well, just because the Lutherans do it wrong don't mean the Baptists got to change and start doing it wrong. Amen. That we could vote and say it. And we could say, well, let me ask you, why do we immerse? Because that's the command Jesus gave. That's the order, that is the example that He went through. Amen. He didn't go to John the Sprinkler. Amen. The word Baptist in your King James Bible means immersion. John the Immerser. That's who He went to. Amen. And so, and it's not always convenient to immerse. We could change it. We could say, well, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That just takes too much time to say all that. We're just going to baptize only in Jesus' name. We could say that. Some do. But that's not how Jesus said to do it. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And here's what He said. Baptizing them, here's how He said to do it. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. He don't care if it's convenient. He don't care if it's acceptable. He said, that's the way it's supposed to be done. Now, I'm not blasting people that do it wrong. I'm just saying they do it wrong. And we can decide, I'm not going to do it that way because, you know, I don't like it. It's not agreeable with me anymore. It don't fit my case today. But God didn't change what He said about baptism, how the church submits to Christ. He's not going to change about the order of the home, how the wife is to submit to her husband. That whole idea of the reverence and the respect. So she's to obey Him in things great and in things small. I'm talking about the church to Christ. We are to obey Him in things great and in things small. Things agreeable and things disagreeable. Amen. You may have plans for next week, but if the Lord were to fall in this place and we felt like God said you ought to start up a meeting and run with God, you know what everybody ought to do? We ought to change our plans. Amen. To match up with what we felt like the Lord had said. Amen. Well, that's how it is in the home. She is to submit to her husband. She's to reverence her husband in all those things. Now only when the husband requires what God forbids, or if the husband were to forbid what God requires, only in that case is she to refuse submission to him. She's not to obey him when he tells her to do something that is anti-scriptural. Amen. Amen. She's not to obey him when he does something directly against God, because God trumps the authority. I hate to use that word today, but God overrides, God overpowers that commandment, because he's the head of the head. Amen. The Bible talks about the head of every woman is the man, but he also says the head of every man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. And so there is that line, and so God supersedes all that. So if the husband were to say, do wrong, she has the right to refuse to do that which is wrong according to the Scripture. And but just because it might be inconvenient to her, she ought to yet still submit to him. There may be a lot of things that inconvenience her, but if she doesn't, and by the way, that doesn't mean she cannot try to persuade her husband. And I'm not talking about nagging, but I'm talking about giving advice. A wise husband, listen to me now, a wise husband will be open to information. A wise man realizes he does not know everything. Fools think they know it all. But a wise man knows he does not know everything. Sometimes he's lacking in information, and so he's open to that. But if he cannot be persuaded, he says, no, this is what I think we ought to do. You know what her job to do? Submit. Follow. Amen. According to the Scripture, she's to submit to him in everything, great or small. There's a second way that the church shows reverence to Christ, respect to him. Not only does she do it in everything, but she shows her respect and gives her respect to Christ freely, willingly, cheerfully. Amen. If I could use the word that, so I could alliterate it, everything, use the E word, she submits to him. Well, this is not an E word, it's an I. Enthusiastically, but it has an E sound. Amen. Enthusiastically. Amen. This idea of being freely, it's not that she is forced to do it, but she wants to obey her husband. We ought to want to obey our Lord. That's the thought. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, jump over to verse number 7, and Paul gives us this. Of course, he's talking about the servant working for his master and not being with eye service, but look what he says, verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. He said, when you serve the Lord, you're to do it with goodwill. You're not to do it with some back talk involved. You ever told your child to shut the door and they slammed the door shut? They did what you said, but they didn't do it the way you meant for it to be done. And sometimes they need to be trained. They need to be taught. As Brother Mays Jackson said, my mama would put you in the door shutting business. Amen. Teach you how to do it properly. Amen. Now, that's how the church is to submit to Christ. That's how the children are to submit to the parents. That's how the employee is to submit to the employer. That's how the wife is to submit to her husband with goodwill, as unto the Lord. In just excited, there's an E word. She does it with excitement. Amen. Excited to do what the master says, what the Lord says, what the leader says, however that you want to use that. So, we see it throughout the Bible. I mentioned last week in talking about that leaving and following, cleaving unto them. Sarah went with Abraham wherever he went. When he left out not knowing where he's going, Sarah tagged along. When Rebekah came to Isaac and Rebekah was married to Isaac, she had to leave her family and tag along with Isaac. When Rachel and Leah came to be Jacob's wives, they had to tag along with him, go where he goes. Well, those are the women that Peter calls the holy women of old, and he gives us the example of how they followed their husband, amen, and that was the direction that it was supposed to go. Well, I look in the scripture, I see that all over again. When Jacob left Padan Aram to go back to Canaan land, you know what? Leah and Rachel didn't say, oh no, this is where we've always lived. These are the familiar settings to us. We're not moving. We're going to stay here. No. They said, we're your shadow. Where you go, we're going. Amen. Now they didn't, that's not King James quote, we're your shadow. You probably know that. But in reality, that's what they're saying. And in their actions, they were saying, we're following along. Matter of fact, in Genesis, that's where it's at. Genesis chapter number 31 and verse number 16, there's that account given. I'll just turn over there and read it real quick. You don't have to, but I'll turn over there and read it. Genesis 31 and verse number, let me back up to verse number 14, all right? He's talking about I'm going to go back, and the God of Bethel has told me to go back. And Rachel and Leah, verse 14, answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches that God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. They said, listen, we're following you now. And whatever God tells you to do, we're following you. We're obeying you. We're going the way you're going. That was the statement that they gave. And by the way, God was pleased with that. Amen. Amen. Then I think about excitedly, enthusiasm. Sarah reverenced Abraham so much that the New Testament says she called him Lord. And the account is there. In Genesis 18, when God came and was getting ready to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to talk to Abraham. When God said, I'm going to return and I'm going to let Sarah have a child this time next year, he said, she's going to have a child. And you remember Sarah laughed in the tent. Here's what she said in Genesis 18:12. Then Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, being old also, you know what she said about Abraham? He's my Lord. Peter said, 1 Peter 3:6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and not are afraid of any amazement. Now, I could really stir up trouble right here. Some of you, we don't have a lady in here that's 90 yet, do we? If your 100-year-old husband said, honey, I think we ought to start a family, you might laugh too. That's what Sarah did. And we fuss at Sarah for laughing. Abraham laughed too. Amen. Both of them thought, you know, this is preposterous. This is impossible. Ain't going to happen, but it did happen. Amen. It did happen. But my point in this is that Sarah, when Abraham said, we're going, she said, I'm going with you. When God said, this is what I'm going to do, she looked at Abraham as my Lord. Not that she worshiped him. That's not the idea. But she respected his position. That's the thing. You ever wonder why we got a generation of kids, generation of young people, and by the way, this, as far as I can tell, started back in the 60s. We raised a generation of young people that despise and do not respect authority. They go to public school and they don't respect the school teacher. They don't respect the principal. They don't respect the police officer. Amen. They don't respect the judge. Why do you reckon that is? Because they didn't see respect in their home. A lot of them didn't see it. They saw disrespect in their home. And they just scooped up some of that and carried it with them. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll be sowing seeds that will be destructive to our children when we disagree with God and when we disrespect what God said this is the order that it ought to be. Amen. And our society's suffering for that. Amen. Well, I'm not saying that every wife ought to have to call her husband my Lord. Because when I said that, you said, my Lord. But I am teaching that this is the attitude of the heart, that she recognizes him as the leader. It's not just the announcement of her lips that she says it, but in her heart she said, I respect him. I'll follow him to the ends of the earth. Amen. Can I tell you that the words are no good without the conduct? And the conduct is no good without the attitude. Amen. I'm not just saying submit, but still have that attitude of not submitting. No, I say submit your attitude. Ask God to help with that. So, grudging obedience is disobedience. Amen. Grudging obedience is disobedience, and therefore it is unacceptable. And to be honest with you, it usually comes from an unmortified, undisciplined pride and self-conceit. That's in young people. That's in worker. That's in a lot of things. Amen. When they refuse to submit and they will not submit, usually there's something in there that they've not actually killed out that should be killed out in their attitude. Now, I say this. Sometimes the husband can be overly severe. Amen. Sometimes the husband can be overly severe. What do you do in that case? Well, I think that it is better for the wife or the children, whatever the case comes in this, to obey their authority and take it up with God and let God settle the authority issue. God's the one that gave the line of authority. I believe God can give grace in the line of authority. And I believe God can deal with people that are obstinate and have a problem. Amen. I do know and understand that sometimes husbands might be overbearing. They might be overly severe. But that does not remove the responsibility of the wife to honor that husband and respect that husband. You can still pray to God. Amen. You can still trust God, that God will work it out. And I can give you a lot of illustrations. Let me give you just one easy one. David was supposed to be on the throne, but Saul was still usurping the throne. David had opportunity to take Saul out, but he didn't. You know why? Because he is trusting God, that in God's timing, God would take him out. And David was honorable in that. Amen. Amen. Well, if God honored that, I think He'd honor you obeying and staying in the position you're supposed to be in. Let me give you another illustration. 1 Samuel chapter 25 tells us about a man by the name of Nabal. Nabal was a fool. That's what the name Nabal means, by the way. He was a block-headed fool, Nabal was. You couldn't tell him anything. He had no common sense. And David and his men, when they're running from Saul, fleeing from Saul, David had protected Nabal and helped Nabal, and he asked for a little bit of compensation. He asked for a little bit of help with his men. And Nabal said, nope, what I've got's mine. I'm not sharing with you. And he spoke real roughly to David. Abigail was Nabal's wife. Abigail was a sensible woman.
Right.
It is. And don't everybody say amen at one time. It is possible for a very sensible woman to be married to a block-headed idiot of a husband. But listen to me. But she did not stand up to Nabal and said, you are an idiot. She did what he told her to do. She fixed his meal. She prepared his things for him. And then when he drunk himself to sleep. And when he drunk himself to sleep, she went around to obviate some of the damage that he had done. She tried, and by the way, she tried to do it in a way that didn't bring disrespect to him. He brought the disrespect to himself.
Right.
Amen. She went in a way that she was not overriding him. She worked in her realm of authority, used her servants and those things that she took to David. And by the way, God took care of Nabal. Nabal died at the hand of God. His heart turned to stone when he sobered up and realized what he'd done to David. And Nabal died. My point is this. There is a God in heaven that looks down on people that are oppressed. And if you are genuinely oppressed, call on God. God can give you deliverance.
Amen.
And I'm glad that He can. Amen. So He does it with a perfect example. Like the church submits to Christ. Perfect example. Secondly, there's a personal example. And this one won't take me near as long. There's the personal example. As the husbands love his wife like he loves his own body. The wife is a part of the body. And he uses, again, the body reference. He says the husband is the head of the body. The husband is the head of the body. Again, in our text, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Amen. Did you know that every member of your body is in submission to your head? Amen. Every member, you don't even curl your toes without it passing from the head, the information going down. Now, sometimes you cramp. And those kind of, you'll have different, and listen, you know what that is? That is painful. You want to quit that quick as you can. Amen. You want to obviate, you want to get rid of that and leave that kind of problem quick as you can. But every member of the body, now listen to me. Every member of the body is useful. I don't want to lose any of them. But I'll lose a finger a lot quicker than I'll lose my head. I mean, if I go into the doctor and he says, listen, we're going to have to lob off something. I'm not going to say, here you go. Stick my head out there. I ain't going to do it. I'll say, Brother Steve, I need you to go to the doctor for me. Amen. No, I'm kidding. I'd give something that would be a lesser because I recognize the value of my head. Amen. Here again, and it's not saying that the wife is of lesser value, but she esteems him highly. That's the point that I'm, and that's how Christ lays it out here. That's how Paul and the Holy Ghost puts it down here in the Scripture, that she's to esteem him like we esteem our head. So we realize the head is really, listen, my head is for the good of the rest of my body. It's for the good of the rest of my body. My head is actually, that's where my mouth is, that's what nurtures the rest of my body. It's the spokesman for the rest of my body. People that are not able to speak through their mouth, they can learn sign language. They can learn to speak with their hands. It doesn't work nearly as well as speaking with your mouth. Amen. Well, you ever had something... You're walking along, let's say you're walking along and one of them fan blades falls from that fan. And I'm walking under the fan, I don't just butt it with my head. You know what I'll do? I'll sacrifice my hand. I'll throw up my arm. I'll take the punishment with another member that I might protect the head. Now, I'm not saying wives ought to, you know, line up and take a bullet for the husband. It ought to be the other way around. But at the same time, wives ought to recognize the value. That's just the point I'm making. That head is valuable, and so they reverence, they respect it. They're willing to make sacrifices that the head can be protected. Amen. Here's another thing. You know, the wife did not come... God didn't take a bone out of the head of Adam.
Right.
We've said He didn't take it out of his foot either. He took it out of something near to his heart. I was thinking about this today. My ribs are tender. That's why I try to pat them as much as I can. I don't like to be poked in the ribs. I don't. I don't like to be jabbed in the ribs. They're tender. And That's where God took the wife. She's the tender part. Amen. And so she's to be protected. But at the same time, she recognizes that rib and that tender part is below the head. It never gets above the head. It'd be wrong to set the rib up above the head. Something would be wrong in that body that's built that way. And so he says, that's the way the wife is to love her husband or reverence her husband. Amen. Somebody said it this way. If your head goes one way, you don't want your rib going another. You want the rib following the head. Amen. You want the rib following the head. They said too, for a soldier to command the general, something's wrong in the army. Amen. There's to be a leadership, and by the way, that's just the way God made it. Why? You know, when the sun goes from east to west across the sky, and sometimes the moon seems to follow it. Why don't the moon come up in the mornings rather than the sun and tell the sun to shine at night? Because that's not the way God made it. But the moon's important in its place. And thank God for the light we get from the moon and the power that God has granted to the moon. Amen. But the moon's not to get ahead of the sun. Sometimes when the moon gets between, it gets out of place, we'd say it, from where it would be, the light, even in the daytime, is not like it ought to be. Amen. And so he's saying that there's an order and God has a reason for that. Now, that maybe the husband may go insane. You say, mine has. The problem is getting him to admit it. But something may happen. Sickness or old age may incapacitate him for making decisions, and the wife may have to. That day may come. May come for any of us. God understands when that day comes. But the point that he's making here is, yet there's respect, thank God, that is shown and honored, and God honors that. Amen. Both the head and the rib, if I can use it that way, are important to a healthy body. Amen. Both of them are important to a healthy body, and that's the way that marriage ought to work. Let's stand to our feet. Just a short message, but the truth of God's Word nonetheless. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the teaching that You have shown us. Lord, I want to thank You for my wife. I want to thank You, dear God, for the blessings You've given us. I know I'm not perfect. I know that none of us have things perfectly. But Lord, You gave us a perfect example in Christ. You gave us a perfect example as the church submits to Christ in everything, at least ideally. That's the goal. We may not always attain that, but that's what we're reaching for. Help us to see that in our homes. The wife submitting to her husband. The husband loving his wife like Christ. Lord, help us to do that and bring You glory. And Lord, I pray that if there be homes represented here tonight or by way of radio that's having trouble, Lord, I pray You'd strengthen them. I know of a couple of homes in a couple of different states where the husband and wife are right at the moment living in different locations. Children in turmoil, trouble, because things are out of order. Father, I pray You'd work that out in both those cases that I know of, and I'm sure there's others I don't. Lord, I pray You'd work that out and You'd bring them to a happy, harmonious, healthy, holy home for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Work in this congregation. Help us, dear God, to get these things down and Lord, to work on it day by day to bring You glory and to bring You honor. We'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing. While we sing, if you need to come, altar's open.